Well, thanks for the opportunity to be here, and it's nice to see there's quite a turnout. Most of us remembered that or you had enough time to catch up on the fact that it's 1 hour earlier than I'd like it to be. But we're here. That's cool. I'd like to thank Dale and Ed for leading, and Miss Summers for singing, even with that technical glitch. Sometimes patience is a real hard thing to grasp. And as Brian said, we're all getting a little older. Maybe we're slowly getting more patient. I titled this sermon Toxic Families, but it deals with that too. But it's mainly just sometimes we live in families that aren't quite as healthy as we'd like. That last song, yes, it's wonderful when God is in our families. But sometimes God has to work a little harder in some families than others. Anyways, the people in the Bible, we're told, are not always perfect. They're a little bit like us. Interesting, but slightly weird. So, yeah, today my family's here and they can say, yeah, very weird. But that's what makes the Bible interesting. It's often very much like we are, and sometimes hits a little closer to home than we'd like. But by reading the Bible, we can learn from other people's mistakes. And so we don't need to make the same ones. Sometimes also we wonder, why did they make those mistakes in the first place? Well, probably because they're human beings and they can't see the whole situation. Just like we can't see everything that we're going through. And sometimes we do things that are not so useful. And because this is dealing with family, sometimes those not so useful things that we do are with those that we love the most and are the closest to us. And so we make mistakes with them. By reading Genesis 29 and a few other chapters around there, we learn a little bit of the story of Jacob and how he got his wives. He wanted one, but ended up with four. They somehow multiplied. The Lord giveth, I guess. No, not in this case. It was Jacob. Unfortunately, instead of being a wonderful, exciting, happy story, it's rather a sad story, actually. Eh? The Bible is that way. It tells us what exactly happens. Even if it's not rosy or wonderful, it's to show us that life sometimes is not perfect. And yet, God is still in it. And He can pull good things out of anything. So in this situation, we realize that we get the 12 tribes of Israel. To start with, the reason Jacob had to work or pay for his wife, it was that it was the custom of the day. You might have to realize that he lived 3,000 to 4,000 years ago. And yet, you don't have to go too far. Even in Africa nowadays, there's still the custom of having to pay something for your wife to her parents. It's not as bad as it sounds, actually. It's a little different for us, and we think it's a little bit weird. There was a reason for this custom. Because sometimes this money was given to the bride rather than to the parents. And in the end, her children inherited it. It also was a safety net in case her husband died. And so it would help out in that case. Or maybe it was also used for the couple to start their life together. This was back when children and women were often seen a little bit like property or a commodity. So they were bought and sold. I think we have progressed from that, I hope. And yet, even here in this system that is slightly flawed, we see that there is a place for love. We seem to place such a high regard for that. Even back then, they had love for each other and hopped through the other hoops to make things happen. We're told that Jacob loved Rachel and spent the 7 years paying for her and felt it was an easy thing because he was in love with her. And as an aside, let's say you make $40,000 a year. You do that for 7 years. You have paid $280,000 for your wife. And if you spent that much money on your wife, do you think you would treat her well? Do you think you would honor her and maybe even value her some? I would suspect so. Anyways, Jacob was in this foreign land, very penniless, with the shirt on his back, maybe. And he was there partially because he had to run away, because his brother was out to do him in. Do you remember the story of his life? Because Jacob had done some things that he wasn't so proud of, and needed to get away. Anyways, the fact that he was there broke meant that he had to do things a little differently, maybe. And yet, the amazing thing was that he figured it was a good deal to be able to work for his wife. Also, the other amazing thing, in our culture, he was able to wait 7 years before he got all excited about being intimate. We sometimes find it difficult to wait a couple of weeks, days, months, I don't know. Anyways, he didn't die waiting those 7 years. I thought that was interesting. Anyways, there are more exciting parts in this story. The other concept that is of interest is that Rachel was beautiful. In our culture of beauty, we sometimes have had a backlash and think that to be godly, you need to be homely. And that's not the case. You're allowed to be beautiful and don't need to be ashamed of it. In fact, the two words that describe Rachel have to do with the word beauty. She was beautiful. She was nice to look at. The NIV says that she had a lovely figure and was beautiful. If you like reading the King James, it says she was beautiful and well-favored. However, the words translated speak of being beautiful of form and beautiful to behold. She was a beauty queen. The Bible doesn't speak against being beautiful. It's a good thing, and if you have it, enjoy it, because it does not last forever. However, there is a caveat here. Her older sister, Leah, being older, wasn't so beautiful. The Bible speaks about her having weak eyes or being tender-eyed. And the words used there, the translators have difficulty with figuring out exactly what was implied. However, I think the conclusion most people come to is that she had nice eyes. And by implications, that was the only good thing you could say about her. Or that she couldn't see very well. But I suspect that it means that she wasn't that easy to look at. In other words, she was almost ugly. Or rather hard on your eyes. Anyways, the fact that she was contrasted to her sister's beauty would imply that she wasn't quite as beautiful. And so life seemed a little bit more hard for her because she did not have the gift of beauty. And she was treated differently because of it. That also left me wondering why nobody married her in the 7 years Jacob was working for Rachel. Now, was she that ugly? I don't know. The Bible luckily doesn't tell us. However, to bring it back to us, it's surprising how we treat people differently just in by their looks. And I can assure you that this is not a good thing. Everybody has feelings, even those of us that are not as beautiful as we wish we would like to be. And we need to be treated with respect and dignity as well. And yet, if you're not perfectly beautiful, there's nothing wrong with trying to look as nice as possible. However, making that your only goal in life is also not so good. It's also good to cultivate your character to try to be a beautiful person inside as well as outside. So if you have a good character, hopefully some of that bleeds out and makes your outer appearance look better too. Anyways, God made lots of things beautiful, makes humans beautiful, and if you are beautiful, thank Him for it and enjoy it. And try to use it for His glory, not just your own. We're moving on. Laban was Jacob's uncle. We're told that he was the brother to Jacob's mother. Her name was Rebecca. She was a little bit sneaky too. This sneakiness seems to have run in the family. And this is where I get the toxic family from. Sometimes families can be toxic and very unhealthy. In this case, Laban's family was very unhealthy. Sister, who knows? Maybe he learned it from somewhere. And even Jacob himself wasn't perfect, and some of his offsprings were a little sneaky. But that's another story. Anyways, back to Laban. He didn't always do everything that was fair or just in his dealings. And here we see that he's taking advantage of his nephew. And in fact, he pawns off his own daughter to someone just because it was convenient. He did not care for anyone but himself. This leaves me wondering, did he actually care for his children? Or anyone, for that matter, besides himself? What kind of person deceives his relatives? One, obviously, that one cannot be proud of. Sometimes we learn things from our families that are not good. So, we're told in the New Testament that we're supposed to take care of our family and not to abuse or use them like Laban did. Well, maybe Laban didn't do much thinking before he did this. If he had, he would have noticed that he didn't do the right thing. Doing the right thing sometimes takes courage, and maybe he didn't have any of that. It's true. He did use it as an excuse, the fact that it was not the cultural thing to do, to give away his younger daughter before the older daughter. And sometimes culture isn't very good either. So it takes courage to stand against culture as well. The Bible does not condemn the fact that Jacob had more than one wife. But we do see that it definitely was not ideal. It was not a good situation. It wasn't God's ideal. Having one spouse is exciting enough. Having more makes things more complicated and painful. So Laban's selfishness forced Jacob into a situation where it wasn't good. He had to deal with things that weren't so wonderful. I wonder sometimes how our own selfishness creates hardships for those around us. I trust that God will help us be a lot less selfish and more able to think about how to make life better for others rather than just for ourselves. And so, in the end, Jacob marries his two cousins. And yet, he loves Rachel more than her sister. And there is not much happiness in the family. And with that comes the fact that there's even two more women that add to the excitement. And so in the end, even here we see that God is involved. He does bless Leah, even though life is a little tough for her, with children. And he makes Rachel wait for her children. And in the end, we see that there are 12 boys and a girl that's mentioned. And that story is also sad, but it's a different sermon. We see that these 12 boys become the 12 leaders of the 12 tribes of Israel. And from this, the Jewish nation is born. And from here, we have our Messiah, Jesus, who takes away our sin and allows us to have a relationship with God. And so too, in our own families, we can have hope that with God's help, good things can come out of any situation. And of course, we can pray to God to help us be the people He wants us to be, so that we can learn, grow, and maybe even change, so that our families won't have to put up with unhealthy situations. I trust God will help us to treat people with dignity, respect, and that we love them and put them before ourselves. Since I preach a lot less long, you guys get to do a little socializing earlier than normal. Thank you very much. Get to sing one more song, too.